So, fortunately, AC approved that the CMB is more sensitive to the non-gaussianity than a large-scale structure for particular model of physical motivated. So I'm just focusing on the CMB by spectrum, and still focusing on the redshift ranging from 0 to the 1100, because I'm using the CMB by spectrum as a test of the inflation and also the astrophysics low redshift universe. So why is it interesting? Of course, the bispectrum is zero for the Gaussian field. This is a first order effect which is well known now. So the bispectrum is sensitive to the second order effect only. This is a very interesting feature. The secondary CMB at small angular scale is a proving the low redshift universe effect, very complicated effect. And the secondary CMB effect basically mixes up the very secondary effect, so it should produce some amount of the non-Gaussianity. And also primary CMB is still interesting to see. It proves the ultra high redshift universe and it's a potential test of the inflation in the universe. Okay, I can skip the definition of the bispectrum. Let me talk about first the secondary CMB bispectrum. The bottom line is to consider to consider the non-Gaussianity coming from the combination, the coupling between the lensing effect and the secondary source of CMB anisotropy. Now, the temperature field toward a certain position of the sky is somewhat deflected by the lensing effect, and this is expanded as this form. And this is basically the second order effect, because those two are first order each. So the coupling between the coupling of two Gaussian fields produces non-Gaussian field, of course. So let me consider here. This is the deflection angle. This is the secondary fluctuation at the low redshift universe, which is maybe SC effect or maybe the integral Zaxwell effect. Here I call integral Zaxwell effect as a secondary source, not primary one. And this deflection angle coupled to the secondary anisotropy as follows. The bispectrum is written as the cross correlation between the low redshift universe contribution and the deflection angle. This is the primary CMB, because this is a leading order, because the bispectrum is basically take the cubic product of the temperature field. So this one and this one and this one, the product of this one, that one is first order. There are two ALM here, giving the CL here, and another correlated term is here, and these are here. Okay, this is mathematics. This is a cartoon to explain the effect. Actually, David Swag came up with this figure. And this is a last scattering surface. Suppose this is a big cluster or some structure which produces the temperature fluctuation, the temperature change because of the Snell-Zeldovich effect. This ray and that ray is deflected by this cluster and coming toward S. Also, this ray, the temperature is modified because of the Snell-Zeldovich effect, and all signals are correlated. So this is a basic physical effect which gives the three-point correlation function in the sky. Okay, now consider the cross correlation between deflection angle and the two most important effects of the secondary anisotropy. The Rossi effect is consisting of the Sunyer-Zeldovich effect and the Intel-Zaksworth effect and the higher order terms. And now, let me define the signal to noise ratio as follows. This is basically the same statistics which Lissier defined. The signal to noise ratio square is the summation of pi spectrum square divided by the error associated with the pi spectrum. And given the assumption of the mild non-Gaussianity, this noise term is basically some permutation coefficient times CL1, CL2, and CL3. This is 6 for the L1, L2, L3 are all same, and the sum two are same, and the L3 is different, and the one, all L's are different. So using this quantity, the Sunyer-Zeldovich effect, the coupling between Sunyer-Zeldovich effect and deflection angle gives you the signal-to-noise ratio of the order of 10 for MAP satellite, the 200 for Planck satellite. And the Intel-Zaksworth effect also gives the unity effect for the MAP and the 10 for Planck. And actually, this number is quite impressive. It's completely measurable.
Do you mean signal to noise, or do you mean signal to quantum variance?
It includes the detector noise also.
Yeah,
as we see. But this CL includes the noise also. Yeah, CL is primary plus noise, right? This is cosmic variance, or this is yeah, depending on the mean temperature of the intergalactic medium, it assumes that the mean temperature of the intergalactic medium at present is 1 keV. So if this is, say, 0.3 keV, this is the factor of 3 below, but still 60. It's measurable, I think.
It must depend more on
the magnitude. Sure. So yeah, actually, I'm now trying to measure the actual signal in the simulated sky map like Lombard.
At what scale?
But,
I'm sorry? At what kind of scale?
Yeah, the basic signal is just coming from the small angle scale, like Archimedes scale. But this quantity is computed by the signal all the scales, basically. But actually, the integral Zaksworth effect is quite hopeless.
How does this degrade, as you say? Making galaxies,
that's like having non-Gaussian noise. That's non-trivial issue, so I have to, yeah, actually I'm trying to see how the sky got affected by using the simulated sky map and measured by spectrum. Yeah.
It's kind of
from
the
I think this is a discussion for the CISO errors, not by
spectrum.
Actually, this is coming from the result of the Cool and Hood.
Yeah, but you can reduce the noise.
not just incidental noise, not including the foreground or whatever.
But would you be better like scanning a 10 degree patch at higher signal noise from the balloon or the
I
really kind of signal the noise over the whole sky, right? With, you know, sort of 5 to 10 degrees. So, you know, and the power trip is going off so fast that it's really going to be in the
floor. It's hard to know what to make of this number. Too late to model this. It's pressure bias model. Temperature is everywhere you need. No different temperature will be a little bit of a little bit of a little bit. It's all based on kind of the equalization theory of the extension of
right.
The effect of some collateral so on. It's not really able to really judge what it's
well, you know, this
it could be a lot more, so that could be a lot more. But, you know, if you calculate the mean quantization in this model, you're off by 3 orders of magnitude. You're off too high.
Okay, too high.
So but they don't care. They just calculate the fluctuations, right? And then the non-Gaussian energy is not due to collapsed objects, it's just due to the mildly non-linear PFK.
You
so
think so? It's
just
I think collapsing objects still contribute much.
Or it might be a lot lower.
But it's higher because, as you say, the non-Gaussian energy is a couple higher words. In question than it is in the energy,
which none of which they take into account. So my feeling is that it's probably very effective.
Oh, good news.
Does this signal mostly come from this correlation you showed in the cartoon between the lensing and the SC, or just from the non-Gaussian structures of the filaments?
So, 3-point correlation between the filaments, what do you mean?
So, it's not really from lensing mostly, it's mostly from the structure.
Yeah, TTT coupling, you mean? I think this is always reading order. So, because the signal from SZ is basically the potential square. Okay. So,
the SZ signal itself is factored. This is like the reduced.
You want to subtract?
This is factored. You're seeing these things, it's factored. You're taking a thermal SZ or something.
So you're looking at the 3-point, you're looking at the bi-spectrum, not the power space.
But this isn't the bi-spectrum that contains the spectrum.
Yeah, a lot of things to do.
Oh, I know.
You can measure the kinetic as set effect.
It is just irreducible. Which is zero in Gaussian.
So what, you excise the SZ model and you more than that that you need for you?
What's the point about your point? So there's a better way to think. Which has nothing to do with
that. So this is just measuring.
No.
Yeah, what is
that's a good question.
Sorry, I didn't follow the question.
So Douglas is wondering what this really is detecting about the SZ. You can detect the SZ on the temperature map from this is detecting, this is the signal noise for detecting the bi-spectrum signal of an SZ.
Yes.
From the
but I should say that the measuring the spectrum at each L is very hard compared with the measuring the power signal in each L. So the measuring the power signal from SZ effect at each L is much easier than measuring the bi spectrum itself. So maybe SZ will be measured by the power spectrum, but it will measure something.
Yeah. I need to separate the ISW part from the SC part.
I have no idea. I think it's very hard.
It looks like it's dwarfed by the SC.
Okay? So let's go to primary. I would like to talk much about this topic because this is my work. So what's the origin anyway? So now, for the US question, I should say I'm assuming the single field slow roll inflation field, which is completely adiabatic. And let me begin with the actual temperature fluctuation field currently observed. This is consisting of the potential field and the potential square. This is the epsilon, which is introduced. And the interesting note is that the Pine and Carroll show that even if the prime order fluctuations were completely Gaussian, the second order perturbation theory gives you the second order correction to the potential field. And the coefficient is order of unity, which is the 100 times larger than the parameter inflation scenario predicts. So this is should be kept in mind. And the potential field also consists of the inflaton field, and this is a correction to the inflaton field, linear inflaton field fluctuation. So this is 10 to the minus 2 order. And at this moment, delta phi is not necessarily Gaussian field. So suppose eta is a Gaussian field, and this is the correction to the Gaussian field. So this is derived by the Gangui et al. That should be order of 10 to the minus 2, which is based on the stochastic inflation scenario proposed by the Stravinsky. The total effect is, anyway, the Gaussian field plus Gaussian field square, and the coefficient is the simple summation of all coefficients. So at this moment, if inflation, the single field solar inflation correct, the dominant source is the second order perturbation theory effect, not the inflation effect, right? So more specifically, I have to model the non-Gaussianity as follows. So ALM, as we know, proportional to the potential field. But now, the potential field is not Gaussian. This is a linear term supposed by Gaussian field. The Gaussian field times the Gaussian field square, this is a convolution, and this is a parameter we called the nonlinear coupling constant, but this is exactly the same as the Ritchie called the epsilon b. And the GMB bispectrum originated from five field bispectrum. So now, five field bispectrum is K2, K3, this is ensemble average, is 2 times FNF PK1, PK2. Yes, plus foundation. Okay? And now, this is our log. The motivation is quite simple. All previous work used the Zach-Sloper formula for the radiation transfer function because all the data we have is the COBE data. So now let's use the full radiation transfer function for computing this because we have CME fast, and let's predict the small angular scale effect. This actually improves the signal-to-noise ratio because we have many modes at a small angular scale, and actually we can measure them because the map and Planck will be launched. And even boomerang will detect something. Oh, really? That's interesting, actually. I tried to find the work which used full radiation transfer function for computing bispectrum.
Oh,
yes, bispectrum. Right? Yeah, I know.
Which is fine.
Can I show you this?
Yeah.
This this is a Zaksloff regime, which the currently proposed formula completely valid. Now, the x-axis is L3. It's a particular slice of the bispectrum because the bispectrum is a three-dimensional quantity, and this is basically L4 times L to the 4 times bispectrum. Anyway, with the geometrical term, which is a Wigner 3J symbol, excluded. And this is, as expected, the acoustic oscillations. And the important note is the bispectrum can change a sign. So this is a zero level, as opposed to the C sub L's. This is a Zaksloff regime. And actually, if we are using the Zaksloff formula for computing the bispectrum, it gives you like this curve. So at least up to the L of 10, the Zaksloff formula is completely correct. Okay. And anyway, from this we can learn that we would better work on the L space rather than the real space because there is the oscillation. So if we work on the skewness, for example, this is the integration over the L of the B. So the signal is more or less canceled out because of the oscillation. So this is one of the main results.
So you get a big signal when you're doing L1, L2, L3. 199, 200, and 201?
Yes, this is the biggest effect, but still well below the observational
right.
and detection limit. And this is a signal to noise ratio, which is more interesting to practical case. The top panel is a differential signal to noise ratio from the certain L3. This is a cumulative one. This is more relevant to the observation, I think. And the y-axis is the signal-to-noise ratio square divided by the coupling constant square. So you see that to obtain the signal-to-noise ratio larger than 1, we have to have the F nonlinear greater than 500 for Kolbe experiment. The 20 map experiment, the 5 Planck experiment. But remember that the inflation model predicts that the F nonlinear tends to the minus 2. But still, the second order perturbation still predicts the FN order of unity. So even Planck is completely hopeless to detect the non-Gaussianity, the primary non-Gaussianity. And even for the ideal experiment, which is noise-free and the infinite beam size. Actually, this is the lower limit of ideal experiment because this is the bispectrum square divided by the C sub L. But because of the weak ranging effect, C sub L enhanced at the larger L. It increases the cosmic variance, then the differential signal-to-noise ratio saturates at this point. So even for the ideal experiment, this cumulative signal has a plateau. So if inflation were correct, the single field solar inflation correct, it's hopeless to detect. So now, what is the Kolbe detection is primary?
So is that the next prediction of inflation? We should search for it really hard, and if we don't find it, we know inflation is right?
let me discuss something about this. it's fun, but you know. Anyway, what if Kolbe detection is primary? I mean, the cosmological origin it may be warning against the Sorrell inflation because we always assume the single field Sorrell inflation. But actually, I don't like the multiple field model, so let me consider Sorrell first. Now, the COBE detection of a primary F nonlinear should be much larger than unity. But this is a contradict to the Sorrell inflation model because the smallness of the F nonlinear is actually the definition of the Sorrell condition. This is a potential field, and this is a derivative of the scalar field.
So, speaking about the suggested detection of a bisection in the COBE.
Yes.
Okay, but that is later been shown not to be a
condition. Why?
Because it's
a semantic
error.
No, this is just for the Ferreira's result, right? Magrejo's.
Oh, there's a next.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Actually, I attended the Grossman meeting in Rome last week, and Magrejo said our measurement is robust, even if the eclipse effect is taken into account. So, yeah.
But if any experiment,
yeah. I'm just believe the observational data. Okay, so this is apparently conflict each other. So maybe beyond the Sorrell model should be considered. I mean, I'm not considering the single field model.
No, single field station, but matter field.
Matter?
If you have single field station and then have, you know, CDM exists then you get an equivalent in your CDM.
Well,
it's not constrained by this.
Another option.
Sure, yeah, another option.
Probably that at least as plausible as the whole.
Sure. Yeah. Let me consider the single field model anyway. So at this moment, let me forget the Sorrell model for the single field inflation. The nice thing is it avoids the fine-tuning problem because the Sorrell condition always predicts the fine-tuning of the parameter inflation model. So it actually avoids the fine-tuning problem. And of course, it generates associated non-Gaussianity, could be, but also a lot of demerits because it leads to insufficient inflation. Sure, this is the definition. And it produces too much broken scale invariance at even COBE scale, I think. And it also it produces too much tensor model anisotropy. It's well above the COBE detection. So there are a few pros, a lot of cons. They're adaptive, maybe two field model. I don't know. So, at least this moment, the robust conclusion is the SZ ranging correlation will be significant in the Planck map or could be in the NAP map. And the using the CNB bispectrum as a test of the inflation model, if the COBE detection is cosmological, MAP will detect the non-Gaussianity is much higher signal-to-noise ratio. So anyway, let's wait for the map and see the non-Gaussianity in the map. Please say something about COBE detection.